Well, indeed, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Again, we're so glad to have you with us today. My name's Ronnie, and welcome to this live worship experience from the First Colony Church of Christ. As you may know, we have our plan is to be online only through the month of May. But this week, we plan to give you an update. I do not know those details just yet, but we will update you as to our future plans, and we'll plan to for that to be on our website and through our church-wide emails this week. We're in a message series called Time Out, Experiencing God in Life's Disruptions, and this has certainly been a time out for us, a disruption for us, affecting all of us in different and unique ways. The title of today's message is A Testing Time Out. You know, whenever I do a wedding, I will say something like this: for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health. And I think that's really a pretty good picture of life in general. There are good times, and then there are bad times, difficult times. But listen, those difficult periods allow us to experience God in new and unique ways, and they actually have the potential to catalyze your own personal growth and maturity and character. Whenever we go through the big three, a trial, a test, a temptation, and they're all uniquely different, they congeal together at times, but whenever we go through a trial, a test, or a temptation, we can experience God in a fresh way and mature and grow. But listen, it's not automatic, and it will not just happen. You know people who've gone through a difficult stretch of time, and they come out on the other side mature, softer, wiser, more empathetic toward other people. And you've known people who've gone through a similar experience and circumstance, and they come out on the other side mad at you, mad at God, mad at the world, cynical, bitter, angry. Listen, there's a lot riding on how we go through times of testing, through seasons of trial and temptation. Let me ask you a question here. Do you believe in the devil? If you were to gather a group of debaters together, theology debaters, say, do you believe in the devil? Oh, you'd get many different answers and points of discussion. But if you were to ask, do you believe in evil? You would immediately get a unanimous yes. The tone of the conversation would change, and they would say, oh yes, I believe in evil. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've read about it. Abuse, slander, violence, racism, theft, hatred, malice, false accusations, murder, trafficking. No one would deny the presence of evil. And the Bible teaches us, and I believe the Bible, that if you just put a D before the word evil, you'll find the source of it. That behind all evil and behind the problem of evil is a devil problem. That doesn't make humans without accountability. But the scriptures also teach us that behind human engagement, there are spiritual forces of evil. And we face that. Let's read a passage of scripture where Jesus faces a time of testing and temptation. From Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now let me stop there for a moment. Some of you beat yourself up unnecessarily, and you say, oh my goodness, if I were just a more godly person, if I were just more spirit-filled, if I were just more spirit-led, I would never face these temptations. Listen, the most pure person, the most spirit-led person ever, Jesus Christ, faced temptation relentlessly. When you make a decision that you plan to live boldly for Jesus Christ, trust me, do not worry. Satan will come find you. But as you'll hear later in this message, greater is the one who lives within you than the one who opposes you. So after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. I guess so. You know, I get hungry after 40 minutes. And after 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus is hungry. And here at a time when he's alone, isolated, hungry, tired. And by the way, when you're isolated, hungry, tired, or at times in a season of abundance, whatever it might be, the tempter comes to us. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written." He will quote scriptures because, as you know, Satan's primary MO is don't listen to God, listen to yourself. That's Satan's go-to method. His primary method is not to levitate people off of a bed and twirl their heads around. His primary method of attack is deception. Deception. And so Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Satan's temptation, it's still so relevant. It comes to us all. Listen to your appetites. You want it? Take it. You desire it? Make it happen. Why say no? You be in charge of you. You're hungry? Eat. What's wrong with turning stones into bread? There's nothing wrong with a little bread, but there's something very, very wrong in allowing Satan to set the agenda. And Jesus sees through it. He simply says, no matter my appetite, what I listen to and feed on first and foremost is the truth of God. And then the devil, verse 5, took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, and so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." In other words, he takes Jesus up. He says, "Go ahead, throw yourself off the top of the bell tower here at the First Colony Church of Christ. You're not going to get hurt. God loves you. And don't you know that if God loves someone, no difficulty will ever come into your life?" Jesus said, "No. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." You trust God. You honor God. You know that he's for you, but you don't test him. And whatever you do, don't have a relationship with God that's if then. God, if you do for me exactly what I want, then and only then will I honor you and worship you. You don't throw down the test. You make a decision. And Lord, here's my decision. You've already proven to me that you're for me. And here we are on this side of the empty tomb. And exhibit A for all time of God's love for you is the cross of Jesus Christ, the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. And it's just not right for us to throw down the gauntlet and say, "Oh God, if you really love me, then, you know, fill in the blanks." He's proven his love, and so here's our challenge. Here's my challenge to you. You don't test God. You make a decision, and here's that decision. I'm going to suit up. I'm going to show up. I'm going to do the next right thing, and I'm going to trust God for the results and the details in my life. And again, verse 8, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. "And all this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, you worship the Lord your God. You serve him only." And then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. That third temptation was just the devil saying, "You want people to honor you? Let's take a shortcut. You just honor me, and I'll make it happen. Whether it's right or not, let's get practical. Let's just be expedient. Avoid the cross. avoid the high road, and I can still make people honor you. And Jesus says, oh my goodness, no. You worship the Lord only, and Him alone do you serve. There's an old ancient prayer of believers. It's called the breastplate prayer, and it goes like this. God, I will choose you and your way first. Lord God, I will choose you and your way last. And I will choose you and your way always. And when the test and the temptation comes, it says, just do what feels right to you. I live by the Word of God. And when the tests and the temptation comes that says, are you sure God loves you? You lost that job. You had this difficulty. Your car didn't start. Oh, no. I don't test God. I trust Him. And He's proven His love for me. And when it comes to worship, you worship the Lord God only. First, last, always. You don't get sidetracked. You run hard after the Lord Jesus Christ. And you stay close to the people who are doing the very same thing. Let me put some statements up here on the screen. First of all, the pull of the flesh, the world, and the devil is very real. The pull of the flesh, the world, and the devil is very real. Now, for centuries, believers have spoken of the three enemies of the soul. And you would be wise to make sure that you are not naive to these three enemies and how at times they congeal together. My flesh. I want what I want when I want it. My flesh, my desires, they're sort of like toddlers. I want it now. I want it right now. It's not reasonable. And your flesh and mine wants what it wants, when it wants, when it wants it. And we have to train it and teach it. And then the world, just the voices around us, the flow and the drift of culture can war against our soul and the health of our soul. And then the very real presence of the spiritual forces of evil who works in conjunction with our flesh and with the world. And so, when you sense opposition to your love for Christ, when you sense opposition within and without to the kind of woman you want to be, the kind of man you want to be serving the Lord, yes, that pull is very, very real. But you're not alone. We'll get there in just a moment. Second phrase I'd like to put up here is this. At what price would you disown the holy and high call of God upon your life? At what price? You know, Jesus had not just these opportunities, but other opportunities to take the shortcut and to disengage from the high road and disown the holy call of Father God upon his life. It came at a price. He was not willing to pay that price. What about you? There was a book out a few years ago that talked about our mission and our shadow mission. Our mission and our shadow mission. And our shadow mission is not 180 degrees from our mission. You know, your mission in life, generally speaking, is very, very clear. To love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love your neighbor as yourself. To take your abilities and resources and gifts and use those to enhance God's work so that your life, it's not just about you, but your mission, it's caught up in the work of God and in the benefit of His people. You love God and you love the people tangibly, practically, who mean so very much to the Lord. But my shadow mission, it's not that I'm anti-God, anti-Jesus. It just revolves more about me. And rather than being blessed to be a blessing, I'm just blessed to enjoy. Are you following your mission or your shadow mission? Thirdly, where the Spirit leads, He helps. You're not alone. Jesus wasn't alone. And even though Jesus won the battle for sin at the cross, He won the battle for the cross on His knees. And even Jesus had the help of the Holy Spirit. We cannot deal with temptation on our own. We cannot deal with the heaviness of trials and tests on our own. We cannot resist the desire to compromise. We cannot break addictions in our own strength. You know, the Bible says the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. You just got to acknowledge that. What I want to do, what I'd love to be able to do, I'd love to just say, oh, I'll never have another cynical mindset again. I'll never say the wrong thing again. No. Listen, my flesh is weak. My spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak, and so I need help. And I must acknowledge and ask and say, and just tell the truth, Lord, I am weak. I'm willing, but I am weak, and I need the help of the Holy Spirit day by day so that I'll not have that cynical mindset. I'll not just have that chronic mouth that's negative. I'll not just be a drain on the people around me. But God, help me to be a force to lean into my mission, not just a self-centered shadow mission. And when you acknowledge God as the source of your strength, watch and see what happens. And you know what? God has resources. God has resources, His people. As you lean into the Lord and lean into the fellowship of the church and the fellowship of His people, even in online ways, oh my goodness, there is a strength transfer that's tangible and real. Now, it's also important, not just that you ask the Lord for help, but that you pay attention to your own environments. If you don't want to fall, then stay away from slippery floors. If you don't want to fall, stay away from slippery places. If you don't want to get stung, stay away from the beehive. And there may be certain environments, certain atmospheres, certain people, certain groups of people. You do know that not only is strength transferable, but attitudes are transferable as well. Good ones and sour ones. I learned a long time ago that there are some people, the less time you spend around them, the better you're going to be, because they're going to drag you down. The Bible says that you want to be wise, you walk with wise. You want to be foolish, then hang around foolish people. You want to be hopeful and joyful, lean into the high road purposes of God, lean around people who bring that out in you. You want to be sour and cynical and disengaged, embrace that mindset. You say, well, Ronnie, I'm just trying to be an influence. Maybe you can be, but watch yourself so that the influence doesn't go the opposite direction. Listen. Ask for help. Make sure you're in good environments. And let me tell you something you already know. You're better than that. You have an aim and an ambition to lean into your mission as a woman of God and as a man of God. And you need to know you can overcome anything that's pulling you downward, large or small. It can be a negative attitude. It can be an addiction, because greater is the power that is within you. That's the Holy Spirit. And the power that's coming against you. And greater is the power of the encouragement of godly people than the negative pull against you. James chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, having stood the test." And that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Listen, Jesus was tempted. You will be too. And the Lord's not going to, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. And every temptation that you handle well will strengthen you for the ones down the line. And you're going to see the grace of God, the work of God, take root in your life in beautiful, beautiful ways. Now, before I close, going back to Joel Smith's lesson earlier, when Jesus faced temptation, that's not just a role model practical lesson for us. It's very theological. It's Christological. It's rooted in grace. It's important that you not just see Jesus facing and defeating temptation as an example for us. He faced and defeated temptation not just in that desert experience, but all through his life, so that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he went to the cross as the sinless, perfect Lamb of God without blemish, tempted in every single way as we are, yet without sin. And as you've heard me say many times, you may not feel worthy to be God's son or daughter, but Jesus Christ is absolutely worthy to be your Savior. The Lamb without blemish. And because of his sacrifice for us, not only are our sins forgiven, but something else wonderful happens. We're justified. Jesus Christ lived an absolutely perfect life, and we get credit for it. That means we stand before our Heavenly Father with an identity. You have royal blood in your veins. You're God's daughter. You're God's son. You can lift your head and come boldly to his throne of grace. And what his grace does for us, if you'll embrace it, it'll do a great work. It'll not only cleanse you and forgive you and give you assurance, but it will do that catalyzing work in you so that you lean not into your shadow mission of, you know, what's the least I can do to honor the Lord? No, no. You lean into your mission. God, here I am. Use me for your great cause and work. God bless you, everybody. Remember, he's for you. He's with you. He's within you. And greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world coming against you. We serve a great God. Lean into him. Lean into his grace and lean into his mission for your life.